Welcome to Autism Knows No Borders, a podcast where people connected to autism inspire change and build community. Together with the Global Autism Project, I'm your host, Rachel Harmon, a professional with over a decade of experience in the field of autism services, outreach, and advocacy. Do you have a personal or professional connection to autism? Are you looking to collaborate with others and help the autistic community in a meaningful, sustainable way? Do you want to share your insights and make a positive impact on a global scale, but don't know where to start? If so, you'll want to listen to this episode because our SkillCorps volunteers share how they collaborated with a global team of autism professionals and advocates on their trip to our partner site in Kenya. SkillCorps is a carefully curated 10-day journey that includes developing culturally relevant and sustainable training with our partner staff, listening to local autistic self-advocates and family members to learn about their lived experiences, sharing meals with community members to brainstorm ideas and solutions, and executing a high-impact project to build on existing work being done in the country. Last October, we sent a SkillCorps team to visit our partners at Kaizora in Nairobi, Kenya. Kaizora offers comprehensive services for families, including speech therapy, occupational therapy, physiotherapy, vocational training, special education, and social skills. In this episode, you'll hear from Maureen Gathogo, or Mo for short, the operations manager at Kaizora, Jesse Sheehan, our staff member who led the SkillCorps team, and the SkillCorps volunteers themselves. Next week, you'll hear the team talk about their personal growth and takeaways. Special shout out to SkillCorps alumni Laura Leonard and Colleen Dorsey, who helped Jesse guide this professionally diverse team of 10 global visionaries on this transformational journey. As you probably know if you follow our work closely, we're also sending teams out in the field this July, and we're currently taking SkillCorps applications for travel in October. Join us today at skillcorps.globalautismproject.org and use the coupon code AUTISMPODCAST to waive the application fee. In today's episode, we discuss clinical training and outreach initiatives completed during the trip, collaboration between professionals from different backgrounds, the Global Autism Project's model Do With, Not For, cultural humility, and sustainable practices in international development. In this episode, discover what's possible when collaboration inspires change.
My name is Mo. I work at Kaizora Therapies, which is based in Kenya. Kaizora offers ABA, speech therapy, occupational therapy, vocational training, physiotherapy, special education, and social skills. My experience with Global Autism Project Partnership has been very collaborative and educative. My takeaway from SkillCorps has been informative, educative, especially from the trainings on marketing, communication, and behavior management. My hopes for the autistic community in Kenya is creating more awareness and inclusion. Thank you.
Here's Jessie and I talking about the work she and her team did on their trip to Kenya.
My name is Jessie Sheehan, and I have actually been involved with the Global Autism Project for quite a few years. I started as a volunteer, I think, in 2016, and it definitely was something that changed my life, and I just have stayed involved. Since then, I traveled as a volunteer another two times and did leadership training and just knew it's something that I really have always just wanted to stay involved in. I led a team prior to the pandemic and was very excited to do some more leadership and take more teams out, and then the world shut down. And coming out of COVID, actually reached out to Molly and wanted to be more involved and actually started working with the team and did a lot with SkillCorps, have been involved with creating some partnerships with other businesses as they've wanted to have their people involved in SkillCorps, really just done a little bit of everything and worked with our team as we've navigated the last few years of trying to figure out a post-pandemic world and travel and everything. So a lot of helping with SkillCorps, with orientation, getting teams ready and out and supporting them out in the world and all the work that's in between there. And then in October, was able to lead our team that went to Kenya. And it was amazing.
Yeah. How did it feel to be back leading a team after so many years?
It really honestly felt very intimidating. Just, I think the thinking about it leading up to it, I felt curious about how it would go. And I had a lot of hope that it would go well. And yeah, a little bit of fear that, like, would I be enough? Would I be able to step back into that? A shift from being a person that was really present for orientation and helping guide the like formation of teams, maybe, to instead being the person that's there holding that for the whole experience, and both from like the logistics and just keeping everybody in one piece, and, you know, trying to create a team in a space where all these people can come together and grow together and do the work that they're intending to do. Just was, yeah, very much wanted it to go well and had some trepidation about if it would or not. We were also a part of the team. We were moved from going in July, and the structure of the team was going to be a little bit different, and the support for the team and country had shifted. So there was just, it was, had changed. And so stepping into to being the person taking it all on was new and exciting, but a little scary.
And it went amazingly.
Yeah.
The team had a great time together, and you're an incredible leader. I've seen it firsthand. So I know that your team was lucky to have you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
They're the best. And you'll, you know, as we kind of explore our trip with them and their voices, I don't know how they all came to, like, it was really something kind of like very special to have them all come together in the way that they did. So really an incredible group of people that made it like just a dream to get to be their leader. So it was really, really a great 10 days we had together.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
It was awesome.
And this was your second time in Kenya, right? Because your first time, I was there with you in March of last year.
Yes. Yeah.
And that was also a special trip with our SkillCore alumni, some people who had traveled with us before, and also some of our partners were able to go on that trip too. And we were kind of testing out this new model. And so from that trip, and also the trip in July with our India team, we took all the feedback and we created what became the model that you and I both led in October. Can you walk us through what the structure of your trip was? I know each day was different, but can you give just an overview of the week?
Sure. It was really the opportunity to take all of that feedback and have it come together to be what it settled into. Almost, it felt like that a little bit of like, okay, now we've got this like established. Really, it seemed to work very, very well. And it was responded to really well by our partners at Kaizora. To be out in the community was amazing. The general structure, we had a little bit of time, which I really valued, at the beginning of the week, just as a team to settle in, to build some of our norms, to come together in a way that I think let us show up as a team throughout the rest of the week, and gave everybody some time to get to know and trust each other a little bit more. And from there, we kind of went to work. Most days we were able to spend time with the staff at Kaizora, both getting to know them, observing the work they're doing, and then being able to provide feedback. And at the end of those days, come together as a team and kind of discuss, both before we left Kaizora, discussing with the Kaizora staff what they are working on, what they're interested in knowing more about, and as a team coming together to think through how could we provide training that would be meaningful and useful in a relatively short amount of time. So we would spend the, if it was a day where we were working with Kaizora, we were able to go and be at the school and observe and take part in what they were doing that day and provide some feedback in the moment. The staff was really excited to work within their kind of professional groups. So the OTs and the speech paths, the special education teachers together, and to receive some feedback and collaborate with the team at the end of the day as well. And then we would be able to have our, you know, our evening to kind of collaborate together to think through the next day. The other part that was really neat is with the new, kind of the new model of the blend between the traditional work of being in a clinic or a school setting and providing that direct training to service providers. There was also opportunity to be out in the community and to collaborate with, we specifically collaborated with a company called Grounded, It's a company that's doing some pretty neat stuff in general, and they're interested in creating a workplace that is more inclusive, that provides job opportunities to people with disabilities and specifically autistic adults. And they were, you know, welcomed us to come see their facility and to come provide training to their staff. And so there was a blend of being at like a more, maybe a setting for a lot of our team members that felt familiar. It felt kind of like, oh, this is what I do for work. I go to a clinic or I go to a school setting and I work with mostly children, some adults. And then we had this other thing that felt different where you're out in the world a little bit more and looking at across the lifespan of what's possible for an autistic person in Nairobi and to work with this company that is really interested in expanding those opportunities. So it was really, really neat. And it, you know, in addition to working with different people and kind of working in a different way, the team also got to see more of Nairobi and what that's like. Mm-hmm. So it was really nice. And then kind of in between all of the work, there was chances to be in the community and just to have fun together. And also, you know, whether I think a couple of different times that we're going back and forth and wearing, you know, our polo shirts and being able to talk to people just more kind of casually about autism and why we're here and you know, have they heard of Kaizora and moments like that.
And as we've mentioned, this new hybrid model of SkillCore includes clinical training with our partners, as well as collaborating on outreach initiatives in the community. And another important element that we've also added to the program is leadership development. So how did this go with your team on the trip?
One of the things that it was, I guess, all the cliches, right, about taking something that could have maybe felt disappointing and like making the most of it. There was a holiday on Tuesday, I think. So I think something that could have felt like it interrupted our progress of bonding at Kaizora, of being able to teach and help, I think that could have been one way to look at it and maybe feel like, oh man, like we're missing time. And, you know, instead we took that day and really created it as an opportunity to have kind of a workshop day as a team. And we dove into some leadership development activities. We also did some more brainstorming and building for like the training for that week, but it was really great. So it was taking, you know, instead of it being kind of like an empty day, it became a day that was really full and really a lot of growth, I think, as much as can happen in just a few hours. So being able to look at leadership, at different styles of leadership. And I think the team really enjoyed exploring not that there's not just one version of being a leader. And the team was kind of evenly split, I will say, between these different leadership styles, and really enjoyed looking at the strengths that they, you know, based on kind of how they lead, what those strengths are, what those areas of maybe growth or needing to rely on another type of leader at different moments was really kind of a rich activity and a really fun discussion with them. And we dug into kind of some other of looking at that too, of like of their leadership styles and where they want to grow and what they're looking to do next. Yeah. So it was really, really nice. And I think we also then were able to go see the giraffes. So it was kind of a really like lovely day of leadership, of some, a little bit like digging in. So some self-reflection and some stuff that, again, a willingness to look at yourself and explore and share. And the team stepped into that in an amazing way. And then to kind of wrap it up with some fun and being out in the community. So it was great. I think having that time let us throughout the week come back to some of those leadership concepts again, like kind of in our mornings or our evenings. So there was this kind of thread throughout of their kind of personal and professional, those skills that they were growing in addition to the teaching and the sharing their professional trained skills with the world, but also able to have that time to develop and look at themselves a little bit more. It was great.
Nice. So let's go back to the work that you did at Kaizora. What were some of the things that you focused on clinically with their staff?
Yeah, it was really great. Kaizora has a pretty big team. There were some new faces, some people that there were also really familiar faces from being there in March, which was great. we had a chance to hear where they were and what their needs were. And there was interest in kind of getting everybody on the same page and creating some alignment and understanding between the different departments of some of kind of those foundational basic tools that help everyone learn. So we spent some time really kind of digging into reinforcement and with lots of showing and games and the kind of the whens and the hows of reinforcement and of making sure that, you know, what does that look like? And how do you know if something's reinforcing was something that we spent some time with. And just the structure of time when you're working with people, what are some ways that you can make that, like, how can you tweak that a little bit and have it be learning opportunities, but also following kind of the lead of the learner and like taking breaks and adding in that reinforcement opportunity and pairing. And I think creating some moments for fun and looking at transitions between activities. And again, really getting just having the time for the staff to be kind of in the same conversation in the same place and talk to each other as well about their students and using that same kind of language to have the same understanding. They're all amazing and are working towards the same goal for the learners they're working with and just being able to get on the same page even more to support that was a big part of it.
Mm-hmm. Great. I love the staff at Kaizora. They're so fun. They really know how to have fun.
Very much.
They're very passionate about their students and they know how to let loose, which shows up in how they work with the kids too.
Yeah, there's a lot of joy and a lot of fun and willingness to jump into that, like to let us be a part of it was really special too.
Mm, great. Okay, let's talk about Grounded. Can you share how this relationship started back in that March trip when we were there together?
Yeah, this is actually really neat. We had a dinner that was something we invited business owners and entrepreneurs from Nairobi and kind of, I think, surrounding area to come for a meal with our team and with the with our alumni to just kind of be at a meal and start brainstorming. You know, is anyone employing people with disabilities? Is anyone employing autistic adults? And I think from that dinner, broadly, the answer was not really. There wasn't a lot, if I'm remembering correctly. And Megan from Grounded was able to be at that dinner and was at a table with you or with Molly?
She was with Molly. Actually, her husband was at my table.
Amazing. So, and everyone was spread out and having these different conversations throughout dinner. And so from a conversation that night about creating these possibilities and these opportunities, Megan saw something in that and wanted to learn more about what it would look like to learn more about autism in general. And she stayed in touch with us and was interested in having the team come and meet her staff. And she's amazing. They're just a sense of like genuine openness. She's an entrepreneur. She's a business person. So this was kind of a different world. And she really, I think, had a genuineness and a curiosity and also really kind of got that this is a great opportunity for both, to be a business that's creating employment opportunities and to have team members who are excellent employees and would be a great addition to her staff. So she stayed in touch with us and was really interested in learning more and creating, and in addition to kind of learning more, but the doing of to explore, was there a way to partner with Kaizora as well? To not just have it be an idea, to have it be something that could actually be actionable. And so from just that conversation led into some of the things we were able to do then from March when we were there in October.
It's so beautiful to just witness that, right? To see that evolution in the collaboration between the two. Because I guess, I'm not sure at what point exactly, but Kaizora started preparing some of their students to become employees at Grounded, right?
Yes. There's just these incredible, I mean, you have Mo and Pooja and the team, and then you have Megan and her team, and her right-hand woman is also incredible. The two teams were in communication. Kaizora was able to have some of the materials from Grounded. So the bottles, Grounded is a a company that makes all natural. I don't want to like miss, but they make some cleaning supplies that smell amazing and are, I think, good for the planet. They were able to send the bottles and the labels that would be a potential a role for someone is to do that labeling process. And so at Kaizora, they were able to start teaching the steps that are required to be able to take a label and properly put it on the different types of packaging, and to teach that to several of their students who are older and are in that vocational space and are looking for like to be ready to transition into a workplace. And so doing before even, you know, going to Grounded or working with the staff directly, the Kaizora team was able to start that with their students. It was really cool.
Oh, great. So what did you guys work on when you were there? What did the Skill Core team do?
So at Grounded, we were there to really first just share some more information. It's interesting, I think, when we look at Kaizora and how much is happening with the staff and the center and students being able to have access to services, it can feel really familiar. And then to go into the community, it kind of is a reminder that there's still really, really a need for continuing to share about autism and to increase awareness and to increase acceptance for a whole population of people. Because the staff at Grounded had very little knowledge of autism. Most of them had not met an autistic person before. And there was some trepidation on behalf of the staff of what it might be like to have autistic coworkers. So we really wanted to create just an opportunity to do some teaching and also to have a conversation with them and create a space where they felt like they could learn, but also ask maybe if they had questions or if they had something they weren't sure about that they could talk to the team and talk amongst each other. So the first kind of meeting was just to create kind of, you know, we play games, which is like a lighthearted way to get into maybe a bigger conversation. And so they were very welcoming and it was very fun. And the goal was to create that space and have some of those conversations and provide a little bit more information and kind of like get them to a place of hopefully being excited to have autistic coworkers and to be working and creating those opportunities. So that was kind of the first big thing. And then when we were there later in the week, some of the staff from Kaizora was able to come with us, as well as some of the students who had been working on these vocational skills. And so it went from kind of a conversation and in theory, what might it be like, to then the staff at Grounded was able to meet the students from Kaizora and to get to see them perform these skills and do the tasks that would be required of being at work. And you know, I think one of the maybe more impactful things was the staff from Grounded was able to meet the staff from Kaizora and talk to each other and learn from each other even more. And it was, instead of it just kind of being, again, like an in theory conversation, able to learn more about the students and what their learning journey had been like, what their goals were, like what might be possible in the future for these particular students who had been working on these skills and broadly other students at Kaizora. And so there was just some really great pairing happening between the two staffs. So it was really like very cool.
Oh, that sounds like, you know, sometimes people, they go on these Skill Core trips, some travelers, and they don't really see or understand the impact of what they're doing in country. Even as you were speaking, it kind of gave me the chills thinking about some of those younger students at Kaizora. Who knows like what their parents thought when they enrolled them at the center, and maybe what they were told by pediatricians or people around them about limitations put on their children's future. And now here we are with this company who's willing to go like above and beyond and kind of take that risk. And you guys were a part of that. How special. I don't know, just knowing that you guys are planting the seeds for the future of autistic people in Kenya.
Yeah, and I think it's really neat for the team to get to see, to be in both spaces, to be at Kaizora and see some of like the littlest ones, all the way up through students who are ready to transition into a job or kind of like adulthood. And then to, yeah, to go and see like, oh, and it's not just a like, oh, they might work somewhere. It's like, well, they could work here and this is what it would look like. And it's right because of building these relationships, because of the work that they were able to help do, just broadly, the like being in that conversation of increased awareness and increased access to services, to opportunities. I think a huge amount of credit goes to the Kaizora team and to the Grounded team. But something that I thought was, it just was like, oh, this is amazing. We also, as we were kind of wrapping up, there are conversations taking place of, okay, great. Well, we're going to build an internship program and that's going to start in January. And this is what that's going to look like. And our next steps are this. And can we have more supplies to practice so that they can learn these other, you know, they had really had done very well with the initial tasks of what like this labeling process. And so, you know, the students are ready for the next step of what else could be done for work. And can we have those supplies so that we can start teaching that? Like they're ready for more. So there's just this, again, like that action taking. And it's not just a like, well, this would be nice. Like if we could figure this out sometime in the future, it was very much from a conversation into the like, well, right. And at the start of the year, we'll have two people and this is when they're going to come each week. And from there, we'll see how that's going. And then we'll build to have more. Just really, like really neat.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. Okay, Jesse. So you mentioned at the beginning that you were a bit hesitant to lead this trip, but now, even, you know, months later, looking back on it, what did you learn or what have you learned about yourself and leadership?
I think for me, I learned that showing up as myself was enough. And now that made me cry.
No. Yeah.
I think from being with our team, so many incredible models of leadership, of what it's like to lead a team, to be a safe space for people. I think about the number of teams that I've sent out into the field with you and just the like, the knowing that they're about to have this like amazing person take care of them. And looking at like Cassie was my first leader and she set the bar so, so high for how to human amongst other humans, how to really like be genuinely yourself while still letting kind of everybody have space to be themselves. So I think she's someone that I always think to of like, wow, she does this really well. And then we have, you know, Molly leading our team and who has led so much of this work, who's led us. So I think for me, there was a lot of, okay, well, I'm not these people. Like I'm not Rachel. I'm not Cassie. I'm not Molly. What do I want to be as a leader? Who am I as a leader? And I think kind of something in like day-to-day stuff that it feels like fine. Like I'm like, you know, like, yes, I see myself as a leader. I feel confident in kind of how I move about things. But to take that show on the road, to be the only person there for that trip and for these humans really wanting to do it well. The learning was that like, I think I kind of decided of like, I can be exactly myself. And I was thrilled to have them there. And I was honest, I think, if I wasn't sure about something. And as skill card trips go, sometimes things change. Sometimes things are unknown. And kind of just being, again, like, I guess I just try to be myself as much as possible. Well, I think trying to bring in the things that I love so much about like each of you guys and people that have been leaders for me. And really also looking to my team for their feedback of what was it working and trying to, yeah, being myself and wanting to like that it wasn't about me either, right? They had all done so much to be a part of this and that they're there to have these different experiences. And I think by me kind of showing up and being excited and genuine and open, and maybe that's not what the factors were, but maybe that like this team came together and they also were willing to be just themselves. And so there's just so much sharing and giving to the whole group back and forth, which was really neat. I also had, like, I can't skip over them. Colleen and Laura were there as co-leaders, as facilitators, and they were incredible and essential to having this all come together. So I think there was also a component of leading and kind of like leading leaders and also helping them be in front of this group and hold this group. And then also me practicing, what does that look like to give that to someone else and to have them step in and lead a little bit as well and observe and let them take on some of that too. And they're incredible people and they did amazing. And the team, you know, again, like they're not me. They each have their own like personality and style of doing things. And it also felt like there was different components of us as a leadership team that worked and the different people needed at different points. And maybe that's something too, where it's like, you're not everything for everyone all the time, but with kind of that teamwork and with enough, you know, creating the space for it, that like, it can be enough for everybody to come together and work together.
Hmm. Yeah. Oh, Jesse. Yeah. Well, again, your team was lucky to have you.
Thanks.
And, you know, as our listeners will hear in this next part of the episode, I think the fact that they were able to bond so quickly and so well together is a reflection of that space that you created for them. Mm. And so, yeah, it takes a certain kind of person to lead a skill core trip like this. There's a lot of pressure coming from all different angles, from the team, from the partners, from the community. It's a lot to take on, but, you know, I think you do it very gracefully. So,
well, thanks.
The team had a virtual reunion a few weeks after returning from their trip. They reviewed what they had learned and reminisced about some of their experiences. Here's how that conversation went.
Hi, Colleen Dorsey from Massachusetts in the USA, and I'm a special education teacher. I think back in like 2019, I saw an ad on Facebook. Do you love to travel? And are you connected to autism? And the rest is history. I had to be part of it.
Hi, I'm Adrian. I'm from Honolulu, Hawaii. I am a BCBA, not currently working in the field, but I have 11 years experience as an RBT and a BCBA working in clinic and home settings with kids with autism. And one of my supervisors, when I was pursuing my BCBA, Kelly Deacon, she has traveled a couple of times and she always spoke highly of the experience. And I always said, okay, well, then that's something that I'm going to do when I got certified. And I got certified right when the pandemic happened. So it took a little while, but I finally got here.
I'm Corbin Havener. I'm born in and living in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I am a autistic self-advocate. That was my first connection. I've worked in a few different industries, whether it's sales, service, rental cars, manufacturing. I've had a good stronghold there. I'm currently actively pursuing teaching full-time and am focusing harder on filling every substitute teaching role that I can here in Fort Wayne. What made me decide to join Skill Course? So, you know, I was actually in the community, first of all. I just had somebody that I was following just sort of step into the podcast. I wanted to follow up. It really just started as I sort of had a reckoning. It's like I knew I was autistic, but I tried to sort of pin my successes on myself and everything. And I was just wondering, wait, did all these difficult experiences I had basically in 2018, were they just amplified because I'm autistic and I'm getting this rude awakening to adulthood, despite the fact that I consider myself, or a lot of people think I'm smart, and the fact that even though I had a college degree, I wasn't quite prepared on how crude that first awakening would be. So eventually that just sort of led to just getting some personal invites, even from Rachel, for example, to go on the revamped Skill Core, you know, and the encouragement that we wanted, that we definitely want more self-advocates on the trips as well.
Sandra Kakoa, from California, United States. I first found out about SkillCore from a friend in undergrad. She did it and I saw her post. And so I went to the page and it said travel and autism, my two favorite things. It took quite a few years to be able to go and postponements and COVID. But as we can all attest to, everything happens for a reason. And this team was meant to be this team. And I forgot I'm in the field currently as an RBT, but I already have my master's in behavioral psychology and I'm working on studying for that exam. Now that I'm not as burnt out from this trip, I'm back at it, ready to go.
My name is Milena Suarez. I am from Bogota, Colombia, but I am living in Nashville, Tennessee. I am working as an RBT. I'm working on my master program to become a BCBA. And how I get involved with a global autism project, it was because I didn't want to work with children when I studied psychology. I was like completely against that. I thought that I can have barriers with adults, but not with children. I love children so much and I didn't want to work in that area with children. And I end up loving being an RBT and working with children. So life is changing. But it, like, I had that experience in here. I never heard about ABA in Colombia during my whole experience there. So I started to do some research and I realized that there are not a lot of opportunities for people in Colombia with autism. And I really want to do something for my country. So having those conversations, someone told me that Global Autism Project was going to be the best experience to get to know a little bit more about how to help my country as well.
Hi, my name is Emily. I live in Chicago, Illinois. I am a BCBA. And I wanted to travel with Global Autism Project because I recently transitioned into a role where I'm fully remote. I'm not working directly in the field or directly with clients in this role. So I was really missing that direct interaction that I was having with the autistic population. And so I was really energized and excited about the idea of not only traveling, of course, with this organization, but also getting to work hands-on and directly meeting individuals in the country. So that is why I chose to travel with Global Autism Project.
Hi, I'm Lucy. I'm from South Carolina. I was a preschool / education teacher for 8 years, and now I'm in a new role of a learning support specialist in a private school. And Kelly sent me a DM on Instagram about Global Autism Project, and I looked into it and like stalked all their social media and website, and it kind of just seemed like a no-brainer. And then I just applied and went.
Hello. All right. So I'm Lauren Miter. I'm from Syracuse, New York. I'm a special education teacher. I've been doing that for 11 years, and I've always worked with children with autism. And I chose Global Autism Project because a friend of mine from college had done it a few times, and it's something I've always considered. And then I was fortunate enough to be able to travel to Brazil, and I just kind of saw a different perspective. And then it got me thinking a little bit more about like worldwide and all of that. So yeah, I figured why not now and why not me? So that's why I did it.
Hi, I'm Julia. I'm a specialized teacher from Switzerland, and I work for the autism department at the University Hospital of Canton Vaud, which is in Lausanne. I mainly work with school teams that have students with autism in their classroom. And I love East Africa, especially Tanzania. And so a friend of mine recommended SkillCore because she knew that there was like a program in Kenya, Tanzania, and Rwanda. And so that's why I applied back in 2021.
I'm Danica. I am currently in Florida and I am a BCBA, and I've worked with mostly kids in the pediatric setting using ABA. And for this trip, I was interested in going mostly because my background is I'm from Haiti, and I was interested in learning a sustainable approach to how can I do this work internationally? So when I learned about Global Autism Project, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. So that's why I signed up.
Hi there. My name is Tia Beck. I am originally from the Seattle area, and currently I am in Kalispell, Montana. My professional background is that I am a child life specialist. So I work at the Children's Hospital here, and my overall goal in this position is to help patients and families cope with hospitalization, new diagnoses, injury, illness, and any procedures that they're getting while they're there at the hospital. It is a pretty awesome job. I love doing it.
Hi, I'm Laura. I'm a school psychologist and a BCBA and the CEO of ABA Tree in Rockaway, Queens. How I got involved in SkillCorps is I was working not far from the Global Autism Project office in Brooklyn, and Cassie actually called me up for a donation. And that's how I first learned about it. And then it took me a few years before I applied. But ever since the first trip, I've just been involved.
My name's Jessie. I'm in San Diego. Oh my gosh. I first volunteered. Let's see. I was a behavior technician before there was an RBT. And similarly, was on the internet trying to figure out what I wanted to do and Googled travel, Googled autism, and SkillCorps came up. And I think it took me probably about a year to actually apply. I think it just kind of was in the back of my mind. I was in grad school at the same time and did my first trip. And I think similar to Laura, where there's that just didn't stop. Traveled kind of like once a year. It seemed like there was an opportunity like at a time that aligned with almost like I needed it. And so I've been able to travel as a team member and then as a team leader. And then now to be on the staff. And it's just, yeah, SkillCorps was kind of the introduction to like a whole different world for me and something that definitely like changed my life. So, and then got to take this team to Kenya, and it was just probably one of the best experiences that I've had. So it was really incredible.
Great. Okay. I feel so lucky to be here with you guys. Like I can see the connection, you know, before we hit record, you guys were all sharing updates and I could see how the bonds were built in just a week together, which is amazing. So yeah, I'd love to hear about your trip. If you could share a moment that surprised, inspired, or moved you. Okay, Adrian.
So I tell this story a lot because I thought that it was so funny, but also moving, right? So when we were at the center in Kaizora, you know, we would often go and regroup on the kind of patio outside, right? There was AstroTurf and we would sit there and chat. And so on one of the days we were sitting out there and chatting and a couple of staff came and they brought a big table and they put it down kind of right in the middle of us. And we're like, oh, sorry, are we not supposed to be here? They're like, oh, we're going to do session here. And we were all like, oh, okay, cool. I guess that means we got to move. So we all pick up and we're heading to go find somewhere else to sit. And we're going back into the center. And then Jessie goes, oh, whoops, there was a miscommunication. The session they were doing is for us, right? They wanted the students who were going to be labeling the bottles to demonstrate their skills to us. And I thought that that was just such a funny cultural difference, right? You know, if someone comes to my workplace and I have a demonstration that I want to show them, I would tell them like, okay, this demonstration is going to be in the theater at 1 o'clock, please be there, right? And they were just like, nope, these SkillCorps people, they really seem to like hanging outside. So we're just going to bring the session to them, right? Not a problem, you know, such a demonstration of kind of like their hospitality and their willingness to meet us where we were, right? Literally. And, you know, they were so proud of their students and the skills that they had taught them. And the students were clearly proud of themselves too. You know, they said one of the students didn't really usually like being clapped for, but like, we all clapped for him because we couldn't help it, right? Like, wow, you did such an amazing job putting that label on the bottle. And he seemed pretty pleased. So that was just really welcoming and cool how excited they were to show off their skills. And I was really like, well, you don't need us here, right? Like, you taught them this task analysis all on their own. So it was a really cool moment.
Oh, I love that. Thanks, Adrian. Corbin.
Okay. So, you know, this is a lot between us as a group, but, you know, there was a moment where we were going late on and then it was a lot of surprise, movement, inspired. And it was a, you know, Milena mention it initially and then it ended up being backed up, but it ended up being like a compliment fest toward me. And, you know, it's not something I've been getting too much on this. And I also keep it vague, but it led to another pretty awesome reveal the last day, which I can let anybody who wants to talk about that. But it also comes down to this moment that when you receive a compliment, that's a hard thing to receive. It's like, what are you supposed to say and all that stuff? And, you know, it was a moment because, you know, I think I was just out there trying to make whatever I'm making for myself. And I was for a long time, you know, just not getting recognized or not getting noticed or seemingly anything. So it was definitely an interesting moment for me.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that, Corbin. I think that kind of relates to some of this maybe imposter syndrome or low confidence that people feel, especially before going on a trip, right? You're like, I don't deserve this. Why am I here? Like, I don't have the answers. And so sometimes receiving compliments throws people off. But, you know, at the end, I hope you realize that you were there for a reason and you do deserve those compliments. Hello, Rachel here again. Do you feel burnt out and want to renew your passion? Are you ready to meet like-minded people and make friendships that will last a lifetime? Transform autism services in the world and experience the connection, inspiration, and freedom you've been searching for in this field. Join us today at skillcore.globalautismproject.org and use the coupon code AUTISMPODCAST to waive the application fee. And now, back to the conversation.
So one thing that I guess it more like inspired and moved me was towards the end of the week, we had another dinner with the Kaizora staff, and just the feeling from the beginning of the week when we had our first dinner with them versus the overall feeling of the dinner from one of the last nights, they were so comfortable with us and we were so comfortable with them. And it was just really cool to see how much we built within such a short amount of time. And it was just like really cool to see everybody's personalities and like how well everyone fit. And that's why it worked so well. I don't know. It was just really cool and like inspiring to see that you can get a group of people that can connect that well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The staff there are amazing. Okay. Cassandra.
So going off of what Corbin and Lauren both just said, the immediate comfort and bond of this team was very surprising because it's not typical that you meet a bunch of strangers and the next day you're kind of best friends for the rest of life, and shows how collaboration should be so easy and so fluent. And that's not necessarily always represented in this field. And so it is surprising and inspiring and moving to be able to want to take this home and make those changes and have that become the norm here. Mm-hmm. And I will take credit for the bonding experience at the airport where I might have accidentally taken someone's passport and it was in my bag and there was a panic. But we all immediately jumped into action. I had just met these people less than 12 hours beforehand, and I'm digging through Emily's backpack, trying to find this passport. Everyone's running in opposite directions throughout the entire airport, and no one was getting on that plane without her, no matter what. And we all just jumped to be a team immediate. And then that transitioned into, like Lauren said, the Kaizora staff. We were bonded each other, that we brought that same energy into the site. And I think that's what made our trip and our training and all of this so much more impactful.
Mm, yes. Thanks, Cassandra. All right, Colleen.
Yeah, I'll just piggyback off of that. I just have to say, when I look at each individual person on this screen, I was moved by the fact that there was a genuine connection with each individual. I've never felt so connected to a group of people, never mind individually. And I was just so moved. And I know Lauren had spoke to this a couple times, like just being with such like-minded people, right? We work so hard back home and in our jobs, and we're so passionate about what we do. And then to be together with people that are just as passionate as we are and just as like-minded, it was just the most genuine connection I've ever had with a group of people, and genuinely every single person. It was just so beautiful. And I also was just so inspired by the team and how when it came to like preparing trainings for the staff at Kaizora, it was so natural and so simple. I've been on these trips before where everyone, you know, stresses and worries about making the perfect slideshow or having all the right things, where this team just knew what the assignment was. They understood the assignment and they just delivered, right? And they didn't stand up there and lecture. They sat with the team, they interacted with the team, and they made it feel like such a true collaboration and that everyone was here to learn from each other and to work with each other. And it was just such a beautiful thing to witness. And it was for all teams, all topics, all training days. It was just so natural and easy and enjoyable. And I just am so impressed by this team of professionals. And I loved also that everyone brought in their different backgrounds too. It wasn't just a very BCBA driven or special ed teacher driven. It was everyone got to bring in their expertise as well as the Kaizora staff and all of their expertise too.
Great. Thanks, Colleen. Yeah, that's one of the things that we recruit for, right? Like a professionally diverse team, because everyone's voice matters. Doesn't matter like if you are an RBT with a year experience. Actually, those are the people that might have more to offer because they can relate more to the staff that we're collaborating with at the centers. Julia.
Yes, I was very inspired by Megan Root, which is one of the founders of Grounded Africa. I loved her enthusiasm as she spoke about her business and her desire to actually actively engage autistic individuals into her workforce. So that was like very inspiring. And seeing a CEO including people was really good, because it's not something that you can see it every day here.
Mm. Yeah, she's really making a difference in her community there.
Yeah.
Great. And Laura.
So many people spoke about what an amazing team this is. And no one mentioned that we referred to ourselves as a family the whole entire time we were in Kenya.
You'll say, love you, Dad.
Love you, Dad. But I treasure that every time we're in the group chat and things come up. Everyone became so much of a unit that we were out having fun at the Giraffe Center and the guide asked something, and in unison, everyone said yes. And I was like, oh my gosh.
They said yes, please, because yes, our kids please. Are very polite.
I know you remember, Jesse, Mom. It was that moment that I'm like, these are a unique group of people that have all come together to make this such a magical trip. And, you know, I said to Jesse a few times, we kept saying, we're back here again, because we had just been there in March with you two, Rachel. Yeah. And it was so inspiring to see how a conversation took place in March with Megan and her sister Allison, and then to be back in October, and it was actually happening. And we were there with the young adults who were there for the first time and were going to work. And they did what their job was going to be in front of a huge audience. I don't think I ever could have done what they did. It has been a moment that has stayed with me. It was such a privilege, not only to be with this group, but then to see something that started with a conversation in March actually come to fruition in October.
And to know that there's plans for an internship program to begin at the start of 2024. So it's kind of this step-by-step thing that there's real action happening.
Yeah.
And so much from Kaizora and what the team's doing to collaborate with Grounded, and to get to be a part of like facilitating that has been incredible.
Yeah. So as you know, the motto here at the Global Autism Project is do with, not for. And we apply this in all of our programs. You know, doing with our partners, doing with the autistic community. doing with SkillCorps when creating and reinventing what this program is. So what have you learned about Do With Not For as it relates to cultural humility? Yes, Danica.
Hey, so I will say the first thing is that you kind of have to just enter this trip open, willing to also learn and to receive. If you come in with this mindset of, all right, I'm here to teach, I'm a know-it-all, I'm the best at what I do, it doesn't work. It really doesn't. And when I hear the word cultural humility, to me, it's almost like a process of like self-awareness and reflection and also lifelong learning, right? I will never completely understand this culture because I wasn't born into it. However, if I'm just open to it, that's where the beauty happens. And I think we all got to experience it because we literally all said, I know we have all this knowledge and expertise and years of experience, but we want to learn from you guys too, because I'm going to learn how to be a better practitioner from this experience. And I can even go even deeper for myself, even a part of me, like my family's from a third world country. So I was under the impression of, oh yeah, I already know what this is going to be like. Mm-hmm. And even I was humbled by some of the things that I saw, some of the neighborhoods that we drove through and a lot of the advocacy work that we did. I was moved and pushed. And it really just goes to show like it's a full process. Like you have to be open. You have to do a lot of self-work, self-awareness, ask yourself those tough questions, respect them. And in doing all of that, that's how you're able to get into that do with, not for, right? Because it really wants you to make sure that it's sustainable. And by doing it with them and teaching them and helping them come up with the solutions, you might give them a little nudge, a little soft prompt. But for the most part, you're giving them the autonomy to realize like, we can do this. We do have what it takes. But again, I really do believe it started with us. Like we had to go in with a certain mindset and an approach, and we got to see that difference. And I think a good part is that Global Autism Project had us do trainings and build rapport prior to us going to Kaizora. So I think that also played a huge role in how we worked with each other as professionals so that we could be our best self professionally for them.
Yeah. Great. Thanks, Danica. Milena.
Yes, I think one of the biggest things is for me, I moved just a few years to here to the United States. And I was like, yeah, maybe this is going to be like my country, but I did not expect to be that similar. It's so similar of like where I am from. And that was so special because I felt like home. And it was even a different continent. So it's also thinking about how I have felt moving from like a completely different culture to a new culture and how you adapt yourself to that. And is that sometimes, even if we mean so well and we want to do something for someone, we don't know if that's what they want to do. So if you are doing that for them, that doesn't mean that it's going to last once you are not there. Because if they are not looking for that, we cannot do things for someone else. But it's so nice when you're open and you are open to listen and to understand. Sometimes when you are like knowing new things, you are like kind of like, I don't know. This is so different. Why don't you do these? Because it's what you like are used to do. So you want people to do what you are doing usually. And then when you get to ask them why they do what they do, then you get to, maybe you will not change who you are, but you understand why. And that's completely important for me, knowing why and like learn from that and being able to be open and support from that part. We can do it together and I will learn from you and you will learn from me. And it's going to be amazing because we're a team.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you. Corbin.
Okay, so I think, you know, I don't know if it was clear, you know, I was going with the flow a lot, but, you know, going in, particularly as a self-advocate, there's a few things that, you know, we're going to be certain for. One thing, self-advocate trying to speak for, you know, autistic individuals who have been harmed by negative practices within ABA in the past. From my perspective, I have to go in critic first when it comes to ABA, and that's how I'm always going to look at it. It's critic first ABA. I mentioned like, if I say were to work in that field, I'm confident that I would definitely be doing it my way or the way that I know or I feel comfortable, or I wouldn't do it at all. But also the first day of observing, doing with not for, that's a hard thing for people to do. I mean, because, you know, for one thing, it's like we want to think that we know everything. And, you know, it's like, obviously, we wouldn't have had to report the staff with the Kaizora staff if we did that. So, I mean, it came down to doing with not for meant me being able to be where I was most comfortable, where I was able to work in good harmony and provide that. So it's like my natural place was, you know, I didn't really spend any time in the ABA room after that observation day. And I focused a lot of time being in the special ed room. That was where I would be able to get an insight about what the goals were. And if the goals were like mainstream school, for example, there are some compliance levels, at least in that culture, that is necessary. And from the culture that I'm from, knowing what I know about special ed law and how much I believe in the concept of IDEA, I know that that is, in most cases, a very unique U.S. thing, and that really the best opportunity is to have as similar access to curriculum as possible. So it really came down to how can you give these children access to an equitable curriculum, while also from an autistic perspective, allowing them to be as much as themselves as possible. And that's the approach and that's the thought process that you have to have.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, Corbin. And it's something we hold true to our values here, the organization and the way we train our partners too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Emily.
Yeah, something that I felt our group was especially really good about and really sensitive to were just, like Corbin mentioned, that first day we were in full observation mode. And it was really easy for us to, I think, after that first day, be able to say, like, list all of these things that we were excited to kind of target in training. But I think our group was, again, like I said, just really sensitive about the fact that, like, because of our backgrounds and the privilege that we have, we just have different opportunities and different access to education and resources that the staff at Kaizora may not have those same opportunities. And so everyone in our group was just so respectful about keeping that in mind and being considerate to staff when we were, you know, targeting things that we wanted to spend training on, and really just making it more of that collaborative approach of like, okay, just because we have had access to this education and these resources, that doesn't make us any better than the staff that we're working with here. It's just we've had different experiences and different opportunities. And that's just something that was really important to me going into this trip, is making sure that we did as a team stay true to that mentality. And I felt like just off the bat, that was something that we automatically did as a group. And that was just really special to me and just so important for that do with, not for idea.
Yeah. Great. Thanks, Emily. Tia.
I think something that really stuck with me for this trip, and especially the do with, not for, I just continued to kind of come back to this idea of meeting people where they're at, and really how challenging that can be, but how rewarding it can be when you allow yourself to step into those spaces that is meeting people where they're at, right? You're allowing not only yourself this privilege, but also the people that you're working with. You can work more effectively. You can build rapport faster, build trust faster. And I totally felt that and saw that with our Kenya team and the Kaizora staff. We really connected with them. I mean, by the end, when we were all leaving, there were multiple people in tears, obviously with maybe some sadness, but also I think just like joy that we met and connected and grew and learned. And I think you can't achieve those things if you're not willing to meet people where they're at. And that comes with doing with people and not for, right? It's a team, it's a collaboration, advocating together, learning from one another, all those things, which was such an incredible experience for me to have, not only as a clinician, but also just as a human.
Thanks, Tia. Colleen.
when I think about cultural humility and do with not for, for me, I go right back to all my involvement with the Global Autism Project and all the different opportunities I've had with trainings and Leadership Academy and even Skill Core orientation, right? Like, we come to New York 2 days before we leave for our trip to meet our team, and we really dive into some powerful trainings. And I always like to think about a training that stands out to me is, instead of thinking of culture shock, we think of culture love. And that's really helped me to really just have that open mind and that open heart when I go to other countries, and not to have any judgment, just really have curiosity of why they do things the way they do them. And that's been super helpful. Also with trainings, when I think of do with not for, not only do the trainings we have before the trip prepare us, but also this team that we had here in Kenya when they went to Kaizora had spoke earlier about how well they did the training and really incorporated everyone. But they really did the training with the staff, right? They started off with a fun, engaging game and included them, had them do it with them, right? Again, they weren't sitting there and lecturing them. They had them get up and work with each other. And then when we went back into, you know, the classrooms, the different rooms throughout Kaizora, it was definitely the do with. And it was just so beautiful to see everyone working together rather than just watching or telling or doing. And the do with, not for motto really helps that. And I feel like I've watched Molly's TED Talk about this so many times. And every time I watch it, I pick up something different. And I'm always so moved by it. So I highly recommend people who have not seen that video to watch that.
Yeah. Great. Thanks, Colleen. Lauren.
I think, like, in order to have the most out of this kind of a trip for me, and like to learn about cultural humility, it's just making sure that you have that open mind, but also like a certain level of vulnerability. You don't know everything, and you need to go into it learning, like trying to figure out what you're going to learn. So like for me, I was just super open and I was super willing to like share with the team about like what I know and what I don't know. And I think that's like a huge part of it. And I kind of feel like the do with model is like when we're doing with the people that we're working with in Kaizora, everyone's learning.
Thank you. Adrian.
Hi. So I wanted to kind of go off something that Corbin had said about, you know, wanting to let the kids be as much themselves as they can, which, you know, I think a lot of us in the field do hold that, you know, as a pretty important value. But I also think this trip really helped me recognize that, like, oh, that is a pretty American value, right? Like, I don't want to go into too much detail because I don't want to share somebody else's story. But, you know, we learned that one of the clinicians, they didn't actually want to go to school to be a clinician, right? They had wanted to be in a completely different field. And essentially, when they got to university, they were, like, assigned, like, nope, we need more of this type of clinician. So, like, that's what you're going to be now. And so if that's the culture that you're living in, where, you know, typical adults don't necessarily get to like be who they are or do what they want to do, and it's more like, here's your role in our society, like that's going to have a big impact on how they view education, be it of typical kids or kids with disabilities, right? And I was thinking about that when it came to kind of the information that we were presenting too. You know, we identified like reinforcement strategies as probably the biggest thing that we wanted to target, and like identifying reinforcers and using reinforcers. But the clinicians there, you know, they seemed to really get it. They were using our strategies, but it's like, oh, is it that they didn't necessarily know what reinforcement was, or that they didn't know how to identify reinforcers? Or is it just that like, it's less culturally acceptable there for the kids to have idiosyncratic reinforcers? You know, we wouldn't necessarily think of giving a kid, you know, a stimulatory toy as a reinforcer because that's like less culturally appropriate. So there is, you know, just things that open my eyes, like, oh yeah, I've been in this field only in my city, right? And you really learn different things when you go and you see different approaches.
Yeah, definitely. And I think like part of that exploration when you get there is finding what is socially valid there, what's important to them. And remember that Venn diagram that you guys, I'm sure you, it was in your workbook. It had the like our priorities and their priorities. and like sustainability and that sweet spot in the middle of all of it. And, you know, just thinking if anyone wants to comment, like how is this affected or is going to affect your work back home with the families you work with the kids and with the people that you're training? Julia?
Yeah, actually, it's funny how you mentioned the diagram, because I actually use it. Last Wednesday, we had training coming up for a specialized teacher here in Switzerland. And we were talking about collaboration, and I did actually use that diagram during the presentation. And since I'm returning to work after my experience with Skill Corp in Kenya, I actually changed my training approach to the one that is more emphasizing like collaboration and taking also other inputs in. Like, it's now that I see that it's very effective to work as a team and support others in coming up with their own solution and their own idea, instead of like offering answer and offering solution. Because eventually, when we gave out solution like this, most of the time they're not even working. So this to me was really powerful. For was like Skill Corp was a training to my actually work. So now I'm practicing back home what I learned during the Skill Corp trip.
Yeah, so good.
So as I've mentioned in the group, there is a provision, like, you know, in the United States that, you know, we can all definitely be committed towards. And if you look at the website, I think it's autisticadvocacy.org for ASAN, the current action alert that we have would be the push to end like the sub-minimum wage provision for various disabled employees. So I would definitely encourage, you know, if we, as we work towards a more not only inclusive employment, but a more dignified one, that we can hopefully put an end to the idea that just because some people feel like they're doing a service just to give somebody a job, that they can't even be paid something that they can contribute to their own living situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very important.
I think that once I came back, as I said at the beginning, I'm working mostly with children, like early intervention. I was not very like familiar with autistic adults. So for me, it was like a pleasure to be able to meet Carbon and knowing like, oh my God, I was thinking about the little children that I am working with every day. And I was like, I really want them to be like Carbon. It's just amazing. And now I translate for a lot of like parent meetings and being able to share that with them, because sometimes they have heard in their lives that they are going to be there forever, that autistic people cannot be independent, that autistic people will require support all the time. And it's like, they can be independent too. And don't think that that's not possible, because we also want these little children to have that support in their family when they really believe in them. So bringing that with me has been amazing, because now I get to share that and say, hey, no, this is completely possible. And maybe you have heard that I know autistic adults and they're independent and they are having their own jobs and they're happy. And that's the most important thing, that they are happy. And that's what we really want them to be.
And that concludes part one of our special Skill Corp episode. Tune in next week to hear Team Kenya's personal and professional takeaways from the trip, as well as some of their tips for future Skill Corp travelers. Do you have a personal or professional connection to autism? Are you ready to make a difference in 2024? Travel the world and contribute to high-impact projects with a global team of autism professionals and advocates. Visit our international partner sites and collaborate with local stakeholders on outreach initiatives in their communities. You can still apply to travel with us this October. Join us today at skillcorp.globalautismproject.org and use the coupon code AUTISMPODCAST to waive the application fee. Thanks for listening to Autism Knows No Borders. Take care.